Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Hockey from Across the Pond, hosted by the Queen of the OHR, Master of Gifts, all-round good person really, Caitlin Berry, and yours truly, Mark Rackham, who may have been day drinking. On today's show, we have Caitlin's OHL Diamonds in the Draft, and we're going to talk a bit about the possibility of hockey returning. So without further ado, let's get this show on the road. So, hello Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I'm actually doing pretty good, you know. I went outside yesterday for the first time in 4 months. It was a momentous occasion. And I'm currently in the middle of moving house, which is why we're recording this very late and kind of very haphazardly, kind of throwing everything together. But yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
Apart from being slightly drunk, I've had an up and down week. It was good in some parts. I've been a bit depressed this week. Certain things have gone top of me, but I figured I was going to have a few drinks today, and what the hell, really? But yeah, I'm doing okay. So while I can still talk at this point in the podcast, I'm going to get to the AHL stuff, which is just basically signings and departures, pretty much. And one of the names is an absolute beauty, and we'll see how it goes. Anyway, departing the Toronto Marlies is Pontus Aberg. The 26-year-old winger had 44 points in 55 games for the Marlies last season. Although, is it last season or is it still this season? I don't even know
exactly
anymore. Aberg played 5 NHL games. So he's signed in the KHL with Traktor Chelyabinsk. That was one of the easier names, like from the KHL,
yeah, that's a good
really
one.
The next guy is Andy Mealy. He's left the Arizona Coyotes, really, but he was last playing for the Tucson Roadrunners. Andy Mealy at the AHL level is just a bit of a diamond, really. He has 416 points in 478 AHL games. He's only ever played 15 NHL games in his career. He's now 32. And basically, he's going back to the KHL. I guess he figures that his NHL career is done. Who knows the future of the AHL right now? So he's going to sign for Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod. And he played for them a couple of seasons back, or three seasons back. I can't remember now. It's been a long ass day. So he'll be a miss to that organisation. The most interesting signing made, or one that intrigues me, is 23-year-old goaltender Logan Thompson. Now, Logan Thompson played his junior career in the WHL for the Brandon Wheat Kings, did reasonably well. He was undrafted. He was signed by the Hershey Bears, but I don't think he played in the AHL. He played a full season in the ECHL for the South Carolina Stingrays last year. He put up a 929 save percentage, which is pretty impressive for a rookie, although he is 23, but even so. That was in 32 games. And he's now been signed to a two-year entry-level contract by the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's quite an interesting turn of events for that young man. Moving swiftly on, Joe Pendenza. He's been signed by the Florida Everblades. So that's a re-signing, really. He's played 36 games for Florida last year, 30 points. He also played 9 games in the AHL for the Milwaukee Admirals. He's just a depth signing, I guess, for Florida, and he'll probably get a call up to Milwaukee if there is a next season. He's a 29-year-old centerman. Up next is Sean Malone, who has left the Rochester Americans to sign a one-year deal with the Nashville Predators. He's a 25-year-old centerman. Malone has 65 points in 169 AHL games. He was originally a 6th-round pick in the 2013 draft by the Buffalo Sabres, selected 159th overall. Last but not least is Julian Melchiori, who was playing for the Binghamton Devils last season. He's a 28-year-old defenseman, who was originally a 87th overall pick in the 2010 NHL draft by the Atlanta Thrashers. He's only played 30 NHL games in his career. He's played 439 times in the AHL. You can tell I've been drinking today, folks. And he has 83 points in the AHL. So he's going to the KHL. So I've been practicing this all day. And he signed for Neftekhlemiek Nizhny Kamensk. That's my best effort of that. Don't ask me to ever say that again. Because I don't even know if I've got it right. I doubt there's anyone from Russia that listens to this podcast who's going to be offended by me getting it wrong. So I blundered my way through the AHL news. Arizona, sign Liam Kirk, who's in the AHL next season, please.
Please, Arizona.
Like, get your fingers out of your butts. Like, get it done.
Get it done.
Moving on, Caitlin, is there any OHL news?
There's a little bit of OHL news. I think one of the most exciting pieces of news to come out, I think this came out yesterday, or Friday, that the Hamilton Bulldogs are, in fact, staying in Hamilton. Like, I think it was a couple months ago now where we had some news that the Bulldogs might be leaving First Ontario Centre, which is the arena they play in, because it needs an upgrade, and the city wasn't sure what it was going to do. And it basically got announced that the Hamilton Urban Entertainment Group will be undertaking a sort of expansion and a redevelopment on the First Ontario Centre and other bits of downtown Hamilton. So it's going to get an upgrade. The Hamilton Bulldogs, for all we know now, will be staying there. So that's very, very exciting for a team which has only been in the city about 5 years at this point. It is estimated 50 million renovation of the rink. It will include a new exterior, a transformed lower bowl, expanded concourse level, a flexible curtaining system for the upper bowl balcony, and a microbrewery in the rink, which is going to be interesting. I mean, my two favourite things, beer and hockey. I'm quite excited about that if I ever return to the Hamilton rink. So yeah, that was really, really good news this week. Some other news is that Saginaw Spirits' Mason Millman was added to Canada's National Junior Team Development Camp roster. He's a defenseman for the Spirit. That camp's going to take place online, of course, because everything's still closed down, from July 27th to the 31st. He had 44 points in over 58 games in his sophomore season, after being selected by the Philadelphia Flyers in the fourth round of the 2019 NHL Draft. And he's had 69 points over 130 career regular season games for the Spirit. So he's had a fantastic career so far, and he deserves to be added to that roster, I think, because there's a couple of injuries or people dropping out. And we also had a couple of new commitments, which is good, since we had the import draft a couple of weeks ago. One of those was a commitment to the Peterborough Petes, and that was Brian Zanetti. So he was the first round 35th overall import draft pick. He played for HC Lugano U20 Elite in Switzerland last year, had 8 goals, 19 assists for 27 points in 38 games in that league. And he's also represented Switzerland at an international level. Another commitment, 4th overall import pick, Daniel Gushin, has committed to the Niagara Ice Dogs. I thought this might happen. People were kind of sceptical, but they did pick him very, very early. This kid, Dan Agushin, was in the USHL with the Muskegon Lumberjacks last year. He was over a point per game player this past season, had 22 goals, 25 assists in 42 games. So that's a massive pickup for Niagara. He should be able to come in and perform pretty much right away for them. And also, Red Wings prospect Alvin Grew has committed to Saginaw Spirit. So, Grew is Saginaw's second-round pick, 112th overall in last week's CHR import draft. I think it might be the week before now. He is a native of Sweden, and he spent last season with Djurgårdens. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Between their Super Elite and SHL teams, recording a combined 7 goals, 31 assists, and 117 penalty minutes in 42 games. So, he was the Detroit Red Wings third-round pick in the 2019 NHL Draft. And that seems to be all of the OHL news that I could find.
I've just been thinking about beer. Not just because I've been drinking today.
In general.
But because of the microbrewery at the Hamilton and the Cubs Coliseum. Now, I've got a bit of a story about a microbrewery I went to in Boston. But what's But before I get to that, what's your favourite name of a beer, whatever, that you've had at a microbrewery?
Honestly, I don't think I've really gone to many microbreweries. As someone who loves beer so much, I don't think there's a ton around where I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've had one. No. Go for it. You tell your anecdote, because I'm excited.
Well, it's not really that exciting now, and I feel bad I built it up. Anyway, I was in the States, not for hockey, for something else, which I won't bore everyone else with. but basically, I was just getting pissed pretty much for the whole week or whatever it was I was out there. I was in Boston, and great city. I love Boston. Love it a lot. We ended up in this restaurant which had its own microbrewery, and we went there. I think we ended up going there a couple of times, and they had this beer called Lumpy Dog, right? But I had a lot of this. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. I think it was like 2008. So, you know, and I bought a T-shirt because I like the beer so much, and I've still got the T-shirt somewhere.
You have a T-shirt that says Lumpy Dog on it.
Yes, in fact, I'll dig it out in a minute, and I'll show you later in the podcast, see if I can find it. But yeah, that just popped into my mind.
Lumpy Dog is a fantastic name. That's so cute.
It was. I think it was a good beer. I mean, it must have been. If I bought the T-shirt, I must have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, if you bought a T-shirt, that's good beer.
Yeah, but I had lots of Americans buy me drinks, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was so drunk. I came back from that thing, which I might tell you about at some point in the future. I came back at like a moderate alcoholic, like literally. It was absolutely crazy. It wasn't good. I'm not advocating that. But yeah, there was a lot of alcohol consumed in a relatively short space of time. And I can remember thinking when I got back from that trip that it wasn't that I would like a beer, is like I needed a beer, and that's where I knew I might have had a little bit of a problem. So
that's where it starts getting a bit dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. So while I go and find this T-shirt, you're gonna talk about the Elite League and their return to play plan.
Yes, I will. So basically, the 10 member teams of the EIHL have kind of put forward a roadmap for a return to play for ice hockey. So all teams voted to approve plans for this season, for the 2020-2021 season, which is coming, which would allow for pre-season games in November, with the regular season starting with the Magic 5 weekend, as it's now been called, which I like, I think that's cute, on December the 5th and 6th. So the regular season would then end on the weekend of May 1st or 2nd, followed by the playoff quarterfinals, and then the playoff finals weekend in Nottingham on May the 15th, 16th, so definitely a lot later than it has been. Clearly. Fixtures meeting has been tentatively scheduled for the beginning of September, depending on what happens. There was an explanation by the EIHL chairman, Tony Smith, but he basically said that they basically needed to consider two factors when going into this. They need a lot of time from the time that they know they can play to the time when they can get everything sorted. And then they need fans in the stands, which is a massive thing in the EIHL. Most teams make most of their money through ticket sales. So it's just not feasible for EIHL teams to play without an audience, even though that might work in other massive sports leagues in North America. It's just not an option here. All 10 teams have committed right now to these plans, although a final decision is kind of yet to be made. There was a bit of follow-up information from that with the UK government confirming that ice rinks will be able to open from the 1st of August. There was some confusion about it initially being a little bit before, and then they went, oh no, it's actually not like July 25th or whatever it was. But it's officially confirmed for the 1st of August now. So also other leisure things will be opening then, like bowling and casinos. But those things aren't important. Hockey's the most important thing. So yeah, it looks like at least there is a plan for if hockey were to return in the UK, even though, again, it honestly depends how many fans they can get and whether they can actually feasibly get enough people in with everything still going on. But it's encouraging news.
Yeah, at least there's something in place, I guess. This is going to be a swearing podcast, folks. So you have been warned, because I'm going to get really angry about certain things. But, man, fuck the government, man. Just like...
Yeah.
July 25th, and it's not July 25th, and then they decide, like, a few days later that August the 1st is the date. And I feel really sorry for the EIHL, because they're going to put plans in place, and, like, they're at the whim of a government that backtracks, that makes a decision one day and does another thing another day. Incompetent arsewipes that we have in charge here. And, man, who knows, man? Like, I wouldn't even like to put any money down. Like, anyone's
money on
what's going to happen.
It's just, it's kind of sad, because, like, obviously it's within the government's right to do that, but
absolutely,
this is probably one of the major sports leagues in the UK who will be massively affected if the government can't make up its mind. Football's okay, football's fine. Rugby will probably be fine as well. Other things probably be okay. But ice hockey will suffer massively if they can't get audience in next season or whatever. Like, teams are going to be in awful financial states. I'm actually quite sad to see if anything does happen.
Well, I think I tweeted before the August the 1st news came out. I think I put something out, you know, the fact that ice rinks weren't going to be allowed to reopen on July 25th. And I said something like, you know, this is going to be the downfall of many teams in the UK. It will be if they can't open the rinks. I mean, even things right now. I mean, you know, if the rink in Cardiff was open, I'd imagine there would be ice skating lessons. There would be things going on. There would be money being generated right now. So, you know, this is all detrimental. The longer the rinks stay closed, like, I don't even see the issue of, like, why can't a rink open and you can have skating lessons or public skating, but just minimise the amount of numbers? Like, what is the issue there?
To either end of the rink.
It's not a finger of a big building, man. Like, what is the issue? Just,
that's not like people are going to be licking the ice.
God. Maybe the Prime Minister might be, but anyway. Jesus, this is how this podcast is going to go, people.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, guys.
I really don't
Mark
care.
Mark and I are in weird moods, respectively.
Pretty much. T-shirt, Kaylin. So, the brewery...
Yes, your lumpy dog t-shirt.
The brewery was Rock Bottom Brewery. I have no idea. Maybe I should Google it, see if they're still going. So, I don't know if you can see this. Can you see that?
Oh, my gosh. It has a little dog on it. It has a little bulldog on it.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Lumpy dog.
It is a lumpy dog.
It is a lumpy
dog.
That
makes sense. See? It is a lumpy dog. It's a lumpy bulldog.
Yeah. Handcrafted by Rock Bottom. There you go.
Nice. Sweet. That's a pretty cool t-shirt, actually.
Yeah.
Independently of beer.
It's only got a couple of holes in it, so I'm not throwing it away. I love that t-shirt so much. Okay. Oh, man, this is random. On to more dumb stuff in the world.
Yeah.
So, we had a new CBA agreed in the NHL, right? Because, obviously, things have to be sorted out for this playoffs, which is out of season. It's like in this weird twilight zone period between this season and that next season. So, Elliot Friedman tweeted, or put in 31 thoughts, I'm not quite sure which it was. One of the things in the new CBA, so the collective bargaining agreement that was targeted at Toronto, they said you can't open your facilities over the summer for guys. Toronto was a team where a number of their prospects would come to Toronto in the summer and work out at the practice facility and really improve as players. Like, no shit. Other NHL teams were like, we don't like that. We think that is an advantage for Toronto, and we don't want that to happen. So they shut that down. Like, I cannot tell you, like, I take my leaf bias out of this, okay? How fucking dumb are these NHL teams, man? Like, how fucking dumb and how tight are they that they're not prepared to open up their facilities to have all their prospects come in to develop and prosper?
And actually improve.
Like, what the actual hell is wrong with you people? Like, my head's going to freaking explode. Caitlin, like, take over so I can pull up this other tweet.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that people are like, oh, Toronto have one of the best development systems in the NHL. They're consistently graduating players from the Marlies and everything. And, you know, this might be a way that they're doing it. They get their prospects in and they allow them to practice and they allow them to develop. And all other teams are saying, oh, Toronto are actually doing good at the thing that we all should be doing, just as just virtue of being teams in the NHL. We should be developing players. Toronto are doing good at it. The rest of us are doing bad at it. So we need to stop what Toronto are doing. How does that make any sense? Why don't you see that and see that as a competitive advantage and want to take hold of that yourself to improve your own team rather than just shut it down for someone else? I don't understand why that's the first thing you go to rather than looking at your own team and being like, how can we initiate something like this for ourselves? I don't know why that's not the first thing you do.
Basically, the league is penalising Toronto for like doing the right thing, spending money to do
good.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's fucking bizarre, man. Like,
they're spending their own money. Toronto are spending their own money doing this.
So, I pulled up a tweet from @EarlSchwartz27, who said, "This is the section relevant to Leafs fans' off-season camps. It's worth noting the language, even where players may want to utilise such services. It makes sense from the perspective of the PA. This way players do not feel pressurised to do additional summer training." So I'm going to read, since this is part of the CBA. So prohibited off-season activities, right? Clubs are not permitted to have club coaching or hockey operations personnel, e.g. coaches, skating instructors, other club employees, contracted service providers, etc. participate in any on-ice sessions with players. What the fuck is that about? Clubs are not permitted to request or encourage players to come to the club's home city during the off-season to utilise the club's arena, training, practice facilities and or to train with the club coaching or hockey operations personnel. Fair enough. Clubs are not permitted to pay players travel costs, per diems or housing for players who choose to come in or stay or choose to stay in or come to the club's home city during the off-season to utilise the club's arena, training, practice facility and or to train with the club coaching or hockey operations personnel. In all instances, if players choose to stay in or return to the club's home city to train over the summer, it must be on a player-initiated basis only, and all associated costs must be borne by the player. So why can't the fucking player pay for the cost of having coaching or hockey operations personnel? Yeah. Man alive, I haven't finished yet. Hang on, Caitlin. Clubs, and there's more. Clubs are not permitted to use electronic or computerised programmes to track or monitor a player's off-season activity or conditioning. Also, clubs are not permitted to facilitate or pay for players to receive any training conditioning services during the off-season from club strength and conditioning coaches who may own separate businesses and provide off-site off-season services. So, you're talking like Gary Roberts, Adam Oates and things like that. Fuck me, are we living in, like, 1875 here? Like, what is happening?
I kind of get it. I mean, I don't get it, but I understand the reasoning behind not wanting, like, the practice facilities open, because the players might feel like they're forced to go there and do extra training because everyone else is. I don't understand not making video tracking or monitoring available. That doesn't buy into it at all. I don't understand that part of it.
This is the dumbest thing ever. The league bent over backwards for like however many other GMs who are too tight to put their own money forward to allow their prospects, if they want the option, to go to their home city. Not every player chooses to train in Toronto over the summer.
No,
some go out west. From what I can make out, there's no pressure put on players. Like, the NHL, dumb, man. All you're doing is promoting mediocrity. This is not parity for everyone.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't the Leafs be able to use their money? You know, they're one of the teams in the NHL to keep the damn NHL running, for a start. You know, there's no luxury tax to pay on the salary cap, so there's no advantage for them to use their money there. So they've used their money to develop players and get a system in place, and they've been screwed over by the NHL, who decided this is a freaking good idea. I don't know, man. I'm done. Caitlin, do you want to say anything else?
No, it is. It doesn't make any sense. If there is someone listening to this who is sympathetic to this decision and actually understands it, and maybe we're missing something, please get in touch with us, because I would like to hear both sides of the argument here. but on the face of it, it seems dumb. All I wrote on my notes was dumb in capitals for this. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, dumb. That's the that's the polite answer to all of this.
Yeah.
I can't, I'm so angry about it. It's just so backwards. Do we not want players to get better? Do we not want a better product in the NHL? Do we want...
It's crazy.
Connor McDavid, when he got injured, he was training with like Gary Roberts, like paying his own money and stuff and doing that. But that's okay, right? But not. It's not okay for other prospects who might not be able to afford, you know, Gary Roberts or whoever, Adam Oates, and they just want to try and sort of turn pro. Like, we should be helping.
If you have development staff, use them in the summer where all of the development takes place.
Oh my God.
What else are the development staff going to do? It doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I feel like we've
exhausted this topic.
Yeah. I mean, the next bit of news isn't massively happy, so...
No, I hate the NHL. I've decided I hate the NHL. I hate Gary Bettman. Come at me, I don't care. Right, yeah, there's some sad news in the UK. We mentioned this on the podcast a few weeks ago. I have no idea how many weeks ago now. So, basically, UK team Bracknell Bees have lost their home. Can I read you a short notice from their website? So, the JNL Bracknell Complex, operated by John Nike Leisure Sport Limited, was temporarily closed in March due to the coronavirus pandemic. In June 2020, John Nike Leisure Sport Limited started statutory consultations on redundancies with employees and their elective representatives. The employee representatives and John Nike Leisure Sport Limited have agreed that a financially viable plan to keep the Bracknell Complex could not be found. It has been decided that the complex will permanently close with immediate effect, with all employees being made redundant. So it's very sad, and we send our best wishes to all those employees. Stuart Robertson added his thoughts. Primarily, we have massive sympathy for all those who have lost their livelihoods as a result of Nike Group's sad but understandably necessary decision in these challenging times. We wish them and everyone who worked so hard to try and keep the facility open well for the future. It is a massive loss to the local community in Bracknell and all our family within the Hive. The place has given us plenty of wonderful memories over the last 33 years. We'd like to thank Sue Nike in particular for her support, along with those involved in the day-to-day running of the complex, Justin, Detty, Louise, Daniel, and all the others behind the scenes. However, in the meantime, the Bees have been making positive progress in finding a home for the 2020-21 season and beyond, and we will make further announcements shortly. Whilst the Hive may have closed, the club will live on. Whilst bricks and mortars are important, this club is about people, family, and community. So, that's quite sad. I have no idea how they're going to go about finding a new home. As we've spoken about on this podcast before, ice rinks are not exactly, you don't find them in every street corner like you do at Tim Hortons in Canada. So, thoughts, Caitlin?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, always tragic whenever an ice rink has to close in the UK. I mean, the only hope I have for this one is that maybe whenever this whole thing is over, if everything stays there, then maybe it might come back one day. That's the hope, but that might just be me being optimistic here. But it is good to know that the Bracknell Bees are still around and they are making positive progress towards finding somewhere. Hopefully things get sorted out pretty quickly there, although with the uncertainty around kind of when the return to play is going to happen for UK teams, might make things a little bit harder in that regard. But hopefully that they do find somewhere, and I hope they do, because we need more hockey in the UK, not less. And closing ice rinks is just awful, awful, awful. It is sad. And I know in this case that the people did all they did. The petition was signed. I think in this case it was just not reaching a financially viable solution in these times, which is understandable because the situation we're in right now has hit a lot of people very, very hard financially. So I get it, but it's sad. It's just just we need more UK hockey. We just do, and it's sad that things are closing.
Amen. I have nothing to add on that, really. Okay, do you want to talk about the NHL?
yes, I will, so Mark doesn't explode. Okay, so the NHL returned to play. We have a bit of basically an explanation going on here. So the qualifying round, which is coming up, hopefully, will be composed of best of five series. And then all other rounds, so first round, second round, conference finals, and then the Stanley Cup final, will be best of seven series, which kind of makes sense. The seeding format, seeding in inverted commas. So in each succeeding round of the playoffs, the highest remaining seed in each conference will face the lowest remaining seed. The second highest remaining seed will face the second lowest remaining seed, etc., etc., which is basically, that makes sense. That's pretty standard there. There's also a round-robin tiebreaker. So if there's any ties in the round-robin, which is featuring the top four teams from each conference, they'll be broken by the regular season points percentage. So it's good to know the regular season still counts for something. So the seeding order of those teams will then remain the same throughout the entire playoffs this year. In terms of home ice and which teams get home ice, in the qualifying round, the higher seeded teams will be designated as the home teams in games 1, 2, and 5. The lower seeded team will be designated as the home team in games 3 and 4, which makes sense in terms of advantage. In the first round, second round, the conference finals and the actual playoffs themselves, the higher seeded team will be designated as the home team in games 1, 2, 5, and 7. The lower seeded team in games 3, 4, and 6. And then in the actual Stanley Cup final, the team with the higher regular season points percentage will be designated as the home team in games 1, 2, 5, 7, and then the other team in games 3, 4, and 6. There's just a lot of information. So we have the Toronto round robin seeding for the first round. So 1, Boston Bruins, 2, Tampa Bay Lightning, 3, Washington Capitals, 4, Philadelphia Flyers. And then in the Toronto best of five qualifying round, we have Pittsburgh Penguins, number 5 Pittsburgh Penguins versus number 12 Montreal Canadiens, and number 6 Carolina Hurricanes versus number 11 New York Rangers, number 7 New York Islanders versus number 10 Florida Panthers, number 8 Toronto Maple Leafs versus number 9 Columbus Blue Jackets. In Vancouver, the round robin for seeding in the first round, we have the 1 St. Louis Blues, 2 Colorado Avalanche, 3 Vegas Golden Knights, 4 Dallas Stars, and then the best of 5 qualifying round. We have the number 5 Edmonton Oilers versus the number 12 Chicago Blackhawks, the number 6 Nashville Predators versus the number 11 Arizona Coyotes. That'll be an interesting one. The number 7 Vancouver Canucks versus the number 10 Minnesota Wild, and then the number 8 Calgary Flames versus the number 9 Winnipeg Jets. So that's pretty much the information as things stand in terms of the NHL's return to play right now. And it's encouraging that seeing a lot of teams are starting to kind of get back at things within their respective bubbles. Even though I don't think the bubble system has actually taken place yet, but like, well, I'm going to admit, I'm still of the opinion that it shouldn't be coming back, at least not yet. It doesn't really make sense to when people are being deemed unfit to play, in inverted commas, pretty much every day, it seems like, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the trouble is, like, you don't know what that actually means. That's the issue. Yeah. Like, the NHL keeping this all under cloak and dagger is just like, I don't need to know which player has got coronavirus, Steve Simmons, and nor do you, but if someone's been diagnosed with it, I think that information needs to come out, not necessarily the name of the player.
I think not necessarily for safety's sake, because I guess that the people within those bubbles or whatever know. But it just seems like, I don't know, to me it just kind of seems like they want to make things seem like they're safer than they are. Maybe, because we don't know what this means. It could be nothing. It could be they actually have the virus. But just announce how many... It doesn't feel transparent to me, and I don't like that. It feels like they're trying to trick us or shroud the actual what's going on in terms of the pandemic and the return to play. And that doesn't kind of sit right with me.
No, it's weird. I'm so torn. I realised the other day I miss hockey so much.
Yeah, same.
And like, I'll probably watch this. I'll probably watch it, especially the games are going to be more UK.
I mean, it's hockey.
Friendly.
I have to cling to any bit we can.
Yeah, exactly. Caitlin doesn't know yet, but we're going to be making predictions.
I remember we said about this last week.
For every round. Did we say this last week?
You mentioned something briefly.
Okay.
About making predictions of it.
I don't know what I had for dinner yesterday, so I have no idea. Yeah, so we'll make some predictions. I think it starts August the 1st. So next week would be perfect timing.
Yeah. That's crazy that August is next week.
March has lasted about 7 years. And now,
2 seconds.
And now somehow it's going to be August in a few, 10 days, whatever it is. I have no idea what.
That's crazy. I mean, it's been really weird because, I went outside for the first time in literally 4 months yesterday. But it felt like it should have been, end of March or April. It just didn't feel like I'd been inside for 4 months. It seems like this just didn't happen. So, yeah, it's really, really weird. I'm just, in a weird sort of limbo place in the universe right now.
So, when you went outside, did you do the whole Braveheart William Wallace thing and just, scream freedom?
No, I was just looking up at the sky quite a lot, wandering around, keeping my eye on other people, making sure they didn't get too close to me.
Breathing weird.
Properly masked up.
Yeah.
I was cautious, but it was good, yeah. It's just nice to be out.
Yeah.
Released into the wild.
Released into the wild, yeah. Trust me, you might want to go back in. People are arseholes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, such is life, I guess. Right. Well, this is a bit of a different episode from last week, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, life situation has happened. I'm literally in the middle of moving. There's nothing in my room right now. I'm literally moving tomorrow morning. We may do with what we can. We want to bring the news to the people.
To the people, yeah. So we don't even have a talking point this week. Not that I could have thought of anything anyhow. Is there anything you can think of for next week?
Ooh. I mean, we could ask people what they think of the NHL's return to play thing, but...
I just think that's... there's not... We need a yes, no, or thing, and it's not. I don't think it's that clear cut, really. I don't know.
Should this CBA ruling stand?
But it's a close case. Everyone knows it's the dumbest rule. It's the dumbest rule ever. It's just so dumb. We'll try and think of something for the talking point.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. I'll be a bit more free next week after I get everything sorted tomorrow. So
yeah.
I'll have time to actually prepare things properly. That would be amazing.
I'll try and stay sober and come up with something as well.
I like drunk Mark.
No, you don't. I know, tomorrow I'm going to read through some messages and stuff I've put out today and probably regret it. But
I mean, we were talking about earlier in the year... before everything happened, maybe in the summer getting together and having some drinks and doing in London and doing a drunk podcast then. So this is kind of a weird version of a drunk podcast.
I guess so, but I'm going to swiftly move on. And that music, which Caitlin now loves, and I'm going to put it, maybe I should put it on a CD for you. I don't know, it's a bit old. It's a bit old school, isn't it? You kids don't deal with CDs anymore.
CDs are a little bit old school.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, it's time for Caitlin's OHL Diamonds in the Draft, and we're back to the year 2002. No mentioning how old you were in 2002, because listeners don't care, and I don't want to know.
How old it was, don't worry, I'm not going to do that tomorrow this week. Anyway, yeah, talking about old school, 2002, good grief.
It's not that long ago.
I struggled a little bit this week. This is getting into territory where I don't know half the players, but I think that there's a couple of people I can talk about. It's not really going to be in the format that it usually is, as in two standouts, two outliers, and then one who maybe didn't live up. I have a couple people I knew, and then one kind of standout, and then we're going to pass it over to Mark and see what he got, since he probably was following hockey at this point a lot more than I was. Okay, so 2002 was the year where Rob Schrempf went first overall to the Mississauga Ice Dogs. He spent 4 years in the OHL, one and a bit with Mississauga, the rest in London. 5 years in the NHL, mostly in the AHL, though, kind of bounced between them before making the jump to Europe, and then played in, it looks like on his elite prospects, he played for all of the European leagues, but he played for quite a few, and I think he's retired now, which is a bit sad. But yeah, moving on to people that I actually know, drafted in the second round, 29th overall to Sarnia, is Michael Haley. So he spent five years in the OHL with Sarnia Sting and then with Toronto St. Michael's Majors towards the end. His best year in the OHL, he was pretty good in the 2004-05 season. He got 30 points in 61 games. Also 122 penalty minutes in that year, which I think is amazing. So he spent a few years in the ECHL after that and then signed, I think, as a free agent to the New York Islanders out of the AHL. Which is awesome for him. Spent the next 6 years kind of up and down from the NHL to the AHL for the Sharks, and then had a good 3 years solidly in the NHL with San Jose in Florida. I was traded to the New York Rangers this year, but only played one game due to injury, sadly enough. Although he seems to have found himself an NHL place, which is awesome as a kid who got drafted maybe as a free agent and didn't have maybe the best points totals in junior, but he seems to be doing very, very well for himself now, so I like that. Also on my list, we have second in the second round, 36th overall to Ottawa, we have Brian Bickle. So he spent 4 years in the OHL with Ottawa and then Windsor for some of his last year. Obviously, he was drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks, where he spent pretty much his entire career, apart from a couple of years at the end. He did pretty well points-wise, but he also helped the Blackhawks to 2 Stanley Cup victories, which is pretty damn good. Played with the Carolina Hurricanes at the very end of his career. Sadly, ended up retiring in, I think, 2016-17 after that season, after a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, which is just awful. I'm glad he got to step away in dignity, though. And I have no idea what he's doing now, but I hope he's well and doing okay, because I think he was awesome, and he inspired a lot of people, especially in the last couple of years after he got his diagnosis. So yeah, that's fantastic for him. And I hope he's okay. My one kind of outlier this year, although he's not kind of still in the NHL, but he's an outlier, was drafted in the 15th round, 296th overall to Sault Ste. Marie, and that was Andrew, is it Desjardins or Desjardins?
Desjardins.
Yeah, we know me and hockey names. Anyway, he spent 4 years in the OHL with the Sioux Greyhounds, did pretty well. In his last year in the league, he got 42 points in 65 games, which is awesome for a kid drafted 296th overall. Spent a few years between the Central Hockey League, the AHL, and the ECHL, and then was signed to the NHL on a one-year contract initially in 2010-11 by the San Jose Sharks. Also fantastic for him getting signed to the NHL. Again, as a kid, he was drafted in the 15th round of the NHL OHL draft. He had a pretty good 4 years with the Sharks, and then was with the Chicago Blackhawks for 2 and 8 years. Did okay, never really put up a ton of points by playing quite a few games. I think the most points he had in an NHL season was like 17. Which, I mean, it's in the NHL, but that's good enough. So he spent the past 3 years with Adler Mannheim of the DEL and is doing very well in Germany. 44 points in 50 games in the year just gone, and has now signed on for a second season. Well, not a second season, another season. So yeah, he's doing very, very well in Europe. So that's fantastic for him, someone drafted pretty much right at the end of the OHL draft. And yeah, that was pretty much all the ones I got going through it. I've really, really struggled this week. But you said you had a couple.
Oh, Andrew Desjardins, I was really proud of that one.
But you stopped, yeah, that.
You missed out the fact that he obviously won a Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, of course he did.
So, run me through what you had. You had Brian Bickle.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Michael Haley. And Desjardins, my main ones. And then I also talked a bit about Rob Schrempf.
Okay. I have a couple.
Yeah, go for it.
Drafted 150th overall by Windsor, and that's Cal O'Reilly. O'Reilly struggled as a rookie, put up 21 points, but in his second, third season for Windsor. He put up 73 points and then 99 points in 68 games, which included 81 assists. He was selected 150th overall by the Nashville Predators in 2005. He's only played 145 NHL games. He played for Nashville, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Minnesota. He spent a season in the KHL with Metallurg Magnitogorsk. Oh, God. The alcohol's kicking in now, man. He played last year for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, but for a guy drafted 150th overall, didn't have a bad OHL career. And then NHL, eh. But that's not too sad. And then my other one was Jared Boll, who was selected 101st overall by Kingston. So Boll chose to stay in the American college system, playing for the Lincoln Stars. After a successful second year with Lincoln in the USHL, he was offered a deal to play in the NCAA with Minnesota. He declined that in favour of playing in the OHL, with his playing rights having been acquired by the Plymouth Whalers in a trade for a sixth-round draft pick. He spent two seasons with the Whalers, and they won a championship in 2007, which was actually on his 21st birthday.
Aww.
He was drafted 101st overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2005. That was good for him. Basically, Jared Boll's a bit of a face puncher, but he played 579 NHL games, and he had 66 points. I think in 2018, Columbus hired him as a development coach, although he's not allowed to work in the summer now, obviously. I don't know if he's still in that role, but yeah, that's a pretty decent 579 NHL games for a guy drafted 101st overall.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty good. I like the fact how like Jared Boll was drafted 101st overall in the OHL and the NHL, and then Cal O'Reilly was drafted 150 in both as well. Like that. That wasn't intentional on my part.
I've only
just realised that myself. So, yeah, I didn't find that as tough as others, funnily enough. Like, it was like, I didn't. The only one of those I really recognised was Cal O'Reilly. But you know how, like, things stick in your head sometimes?
Yeah. Also on that list was Andrew Hotham of Cardiff Devils, mate.
Yes, and there was another guy who played for Belfast as well.
Liam Reddick? No, something Reddick.
Was it Maddox? Oh, it was one of those. Played for Belfast.
I definitely saw it as well, but I can't remember the name now.
I think there was
always like spotting EHL people on these OHL draft lists.
And there was another guy as well, but don't ask me to remember his name. I can't remember. Maybe I should start making a note of those. But yeah, that's kind of it for this week's Diamonds in the Draft. 2001 next week.
Oh gosh, Space Odyssey.
I've never seen it. Never seen it. Never read the book. I think it's a book. Yeah, never read it.
I've never seen it either, honestly.
So,
which isn't a surprise when it comes to me. We know by now on this podcast that I don't watch films.
Exactly. So there's no quiz this week either. This is a really scaled down episode, folks.
It is, but we're doing it. We got news. We got drinks. And it's all good.
It is all good. Title of the podcast is next, Caitlin. We don't really have a lot to go on.
What have I written down? I've written down, Mark is salty about the CBA.
That's an understatement.
I've written, good to know the bees are still around, then Mark is salty about the CBA. That's my notes this week. NHL sucks.
NHL GMs are tight. I don't know. I just, that has to be in a title somewhere.
Yeah. You can do NHL GM suck.
No, because that has connotations.
tight NHL GMs. Oh no, that sounds slightly different.
We have to be careful with this. You might have to overrule me on this one this week.
Jean GM's a tie, and hockey return to play, question mark. We had quite a bit of return to play news from both ponds, like the other sides of both ponds. No, other sides of the same pond. I'm tired. It's been a long day.
What about this? I can't believe I thought of this, considering how much I've had to drink today.
That's probably inspired it.
I very much doubt it. You've never seen me pissed. What about development does matter, with does in capital letters, and EIHL return to play?
I like it.
It's boring.
Because it does matter. It's true. No, it's true. I mean, it's been a news-heavy podcast. We're going to have a news-heavy title. That makes sense.
Okay.
It's not quite a Liam Kirk interview, but...
Yeah.
I think we peaked. We peaked last week. We peaked. That's it. Yeah, can't get better than that, folks.
The podcast is on the way down now. It's suddenly down.
No, that's not true. We have some fun things possibly lined up, if you provide me.
Hopefully. Life is weird right now. Okay, so that was a relatively quick title of the podcast. Any other business, Caitlin? This episode might actually be under an hour, depending on kind of what happens in any other business.
Oh, I did have something. Wait. Yeah, so basically, the QMJHL, so the Quebec League and the CHL, released a thing basically reiterating that they were aiming for an October the 1st start date, and then basically put a couple of points down on how the season might work. I thought it was interesting to look at, basically, when considering how the OHL and other leagues in the CHL might work with that. So a couple of the main points they put, the article's in French, but someone's helpfully done like a Spark Notes version. So the main points are basically that they'll have 60 games instead of 68. Camps will start on August 26th. And there'll be max 34 players at camp instead of 60, which is a really interesting point, depending on if we look at who's actually going to make these QMJHL or maybe CHL camps or not. QMJHL has been redeveloped into three divisions of six teams, so all games will be versus division rivals, and obviously spectators are still a question mark. They still don't know if that's going to happen. But I just thought those were a couple of interesting points to point out when considering how, the OHL and the WHL might proceed, even though nothing's been formally announced or even released for those leagues yet. But yeah, it's interesting seeing how junior hockey might look if it ends up coming back at the end of this year.
Yeah, I don't know. The Quebec League is weird, man.
It's weird. Is, but I hope that the other leagues follow suit if they can, if it's possible. 34 players at camp instead of 60 is going to be really interesting.
Can junior hockey cope without crowds? And I can't see how they can. Like, how can they?
I don't think so.
So
they need to get a way of getting that sorted first, because I don't think they'll be able to cope without crowds. They can do that thing that some teams are doing and get them to pay for, like, cardboard cutouts for themselves. That's technically ticket price, isn't it? That works.
Who knows?
I pay for a cardboard cutout of myself to sit in, like, Pete's games and Kitchener Rangers games. Hell yeah.
I wouldn't, but, personal preference and stuff.
And again, I'm not amazingly good at money.
And we've just seen why, I guess. How is the beer, by the way?
It's really, really good. It's honestly so good.
Awesome.
I've been getting through them this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't tweet about this, but Mark was very, very kind and he sent me some beer. And it was such an amazing gift that I'm very, very thankful, because it's been amazing just to get through this week. So yeah, I massively appreciate it.
It's okay, I'm just turning you into an alcoholic.
Yeah. You're like, if I'm getting drunk on the podcast, you're following me.
Yeah, pretty much. Amazingly, I actually wrote something this week. I'll put a link to it in the description, about a random team that used to exist in Seattle called the Tacoma Sabercats. If you want to read a random story, it won't take you 5 minutes. You can check that out. It's kind of weird looking back at old players. I don't think there was too many players in that league I actually recognised. There was a couple of... The Sabercats had a couple of ex-NHL guys who are sort of recognised. But it's weird to think that Seattle's going to have a proper NHL team very soon.
I'm so excited.
In other news, I've been working on an article now for... I don't know how long, like too long. And it's almost ready. It's almost ready.
I'm so excited.
It's taken a lot of work. I had to bring in a Swedish translator. I had to speak to someone who's been involved in hockey for 65 years. It's been a bit of a journey, and I don't really want to say anything else because I don't want to spoil the surprise.
I vaguely know what it's about, people listening, and it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, it's one of those where I hope the hard work and people's time that they've given me pays off in the fact that people like it and the article does quite well, and it sort of, you know, this is not a clickbait thing. This is not, you know.
It's genuinely just really cool.
Like, it's basically, it's a story. It's an old hockey story. That's all I'm going to say. And there's lots of really neat facets to the story. And I've been able to talk to people who were involved, and hopefully I've pieced it all together in a really good way, and it comes together and everyone just really enjoys it. Yeah, I'm not quite sure when to release it. I could probably... I'm waiting on... I need some Swedish translation done. So that's going to be tomorrow or Tuesday. I'll get that so I can put that into the article. I was given some more photos. So those will go in at some point.
Nice.
And so there's little bits and pieces. But I don't know whether which day to... Like, I'm kind of... heading to work.
Maybe
Saturday morning, but
yeah, sounds good. Saturday morning when everyone's awake.
Yeah, but not in Canada, they're not.
Then do it around middayish when the people are awake in Canada, like 1 PM.
Yeah, maybe that's what I do. Maybe Saturday. I might let Caitlin have a sneaky peek early view.
I'm excited. I'm genuinely really excited to read this for people who are listening. Like, this isn't me just hyping it up. I'm genuinely excited to read it.
On a side note, the Romania article is not going to happen because it's boring as shit, basically.
Fair enough.
And it's like, I can't work out if they qualified. And then, like, the tournaments were really weird anyway. A lot of teams opted not to compete in Olympic Games, so it's not as exciting as I first thought. So, like, screw that idea. So I kind of put all my eggs into one basket with this idea. And it's
cool.
It's something. It's something. But, I can't, really, really can't wait to share it with people. That's all I really have to say, really. Apart from to ask Caitlin a really random question that I was thinking about earlier. I don't know why this popped into my head. But, Caitlin, when you were growing up, I was going to make this like a poll question. No, not a poll question, maybe a top five or something. But what was your favourite cartoon growing up? I was just thinking about this.
I really like, this sounds really girly for someone who's not very girly, but I really liked Winx Club, which you probably wouldn't know about. It's about fairies. They're basically a bunch of fairies go to a magical school. And then I really liked Totally Spies, which was a bunch of three women spies getting up to stuff. I had one of the fake spy phone things with that when I was a kid. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, back then, like now, I didn't watch much TV or anything. I think that kind of set it up. But yeah, I think those are the first two that come to mind. I wasn't into super popular things. I did like Pokemon, but I never watched a ton of it back then. I was just more into the games. Yeah, I think that would be it.
Okay. No, I don't know why I was thinking about cartoons. This is how my brain works. Just go off in random tangents.
But are you going to show me any weird, creepy ones that were
around? Oh, yeah, what was that? Oh.
We went through a thing a couple of months ago when Mark was just sending me intros to children's shows that were around in, the 80s, and they are all terrifying, viscerally terrifying.
Children's TV, like, cartoons and stuff from the 80s are, like, friggin' mental. You're, like, they're awesome, but, like, Caitlin was, like, so horrified.
Scary. Terrifying.
Banana Man was cool.
No, I remember you sent me that.
Banana Man's cool. How can he not, like, that's...
He's scary.
What? He eats a banana, he turns into a banana man.
I found, like, Rosie and Jim and Ben and Ben the Firepot Man scary and things like that, so...
Rosie and Jim on the old rag doll?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I'm not going to sing it. But you say that, like, to me, now they've, like, CGI'd Fireman Sam. What's the other one they CGI'd? Postman Pat, I think they CGI'd. They're just killing these classics, man. You can't CGI this stuff. Well, I bet they've CGI'd... is it Thunderbirds I'm thinking of? Maybe not. Maybe there's...
Thunderbirds still around?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't watch cartoons.
I think there might be a newer Thunderbird cartoon.
Well, it'll suck. Like, whatever it is, it'll suck.
What's the big one that a lot of kids are... Paw Patrol is what a lot of kids are into these days.
Yeah. I've heard about it, but... It's dogs, so...
A bunch of dogs who do different things. They all have different roles in saving the day and going on adventures, I guess.
But that's just like Thomas the Tank Engine, man. He's like... They were just a load of trains who did different things.
Honestly, looking back on Thomas the Tank Engine, that's pretty scary.
That's the other thing they've, like... mashed up, man. Leave Thomas the Tank Engine alone. It sucks now.
He needs the plasticine face.
Look, don't you diss Thomas, man.
I know
Gordon was a moody son of a gun, and Gordon needing a good slap, but leave Thomas. And he's a tank engine. And from my American friends, he's a tank engine, not a train engine.
Yeah, he's not a train engine.
Yeah. Because he's a loco.
That doesn't make sense. Train engine doesn't make sense. Is it Thomas the Train Engine in America? Wait.
No, what? No. They call him a train engine or a train. He's not a train. He's a loco. He's a tank.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was shouting about it on Twitter. I've run out of alcohol. This is not good.
Getting very annoyed about Thomas the Tank Engine.
This is not how I imagined the podcast to go.
About other things, you can have a rant about Thomas the Tank Engine. Go for it.
No, I'm not. I do miss Fraggle Rock though.
I love Fraggle Rock.
See, Fraggle Rock, like, how can you not be freaked out by Fraggle Rock? And that's.
Are they like tiny baby little puppets?
Yeah, but it wasn't all tiny little.
They're not meant to be humanoid, which is the thing that scares me about the other puppets. They're not meant to be humans. There's no like uncanny valley going on with Fraggle Rock. They just have nice songs.
Down a Fraggle Rock. That's the only thing I remember. If you have no idea what we're talking about, YouTube Fraggle Rock.
YouTube Fraggle the best Rock thing. Is so cute.
I think I must have sent you a video clip of Jamie and his magic torch, which when you say it sounds really dodgy.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, you had to be on drugs. I swear we were as kids, we must have been on drugs in the 80s. We must have been.
I think your brains just work different as children. Like, you don't perceive things like that as scary because you're kind of living in a world where kind of monsters are real and stuff anyway when you're a child. So when things are, like, kind of weird and scary, it just doesn't register as different from real life. I think that might be a thing when you get older, you look at things you liked as a kid and you're like, wow, that's horrifying. Why did I like that?
But, yeah, but the problem with that is that I was scared. I was scared of... What was it? Name of that bloody robot. Oh, jeez. Metal Mickey. Right? I'm scared of this robot called Metal Mickey. Right, I'm just going to...
show me Metal Mickey.
And you'll just laugh at me at being scared of this dumb...
For people listening to the audio of this podcast, Google it. Or maybe Mark will tweet us just a random picture of Metal Mickey. Or who knows?
Maybe.
Just with no context as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, man, alive. No, Mickey. Jesus. How was I ever scared of this thing, man?
I mean, I was scared of so many weird things. I was scared of the live-action Scooby-Doo movies as a child. They're terrifying.
Like, the things you didn't realise about... Shaggy was a druggie.
Yeah.
Like,
The rest of them were just horrible people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Scrappy was just a pain in the ass and should have been...
Scrappy in the movie versions where he grows into a giant dog mutant thing. Terrifying.
He did what? He...
In one of the live-action movies, he goes all, like, massive and, like, robot-y or, like, mutant-y and scary.
Metal Mickey.
Have you ever seen the live actions?
No. Metal Mickey has his own Twitter account.
Oh.
Or someone right. made That's a Twitter terrifying. Account. Yeah. Now I just... I need to find a picture, man. This is weird.
I'll Google it.
No, no, I found it. Here we go. I'm sending it over to you now.
Mm-hmm.
This is Metal Mickey. Yeah, just laugh.
Why is it 1982? Good grief. I mean, it looks quite happy. Did it have a creepy voice?
I don't remember. There's YouTube videos. We can discuss after the podcast.
I mean, to be fair, the man in the background of that picture might be creepier than the robot.
Yeah, that dude actually is. Man alive. Metal Mickey, man. I'm totally, like, showing my age now. But there's a Metal Mickey song called I Can Boogie on YouTube.
Boogie? Oh, no. That sounds creepy.
Oh, my God. LWT, London Weekend Television. See all these things that you missed out on. You're just too young.
Mark's nostalgia years at the end of the podcast. Well, we just try and fill a little bit of time before we end.
Yeah. He sounds really robotic. Yeah.
It sounds quite good from the little bits that I can hear.
He can boogie, oh my God. I'm getting flashbacks. I've got to turn it off. I'm getting flashbacks.
Oh, okay.
God. Oh, dear. No, that is it.
If anyone listens this far in the podcast, tweet at us. What was your favourite children's TV programme? Or the one that terrified you? Either one, both. Just tweet at us. It'll be interesting.
Man alive. Yeah, maybe we can do a top five.
Yeah, oh, we didn't top really five, done that.
Top five favourite cartoons.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we can definitely do that. Okay, I'm
bringing top fives back just for next week.
Possibly.
That's exciting.
I have to make a note.
Top fives in months.
I don't think it's been months.
Okay. It's been at least 1 month.
Caitlin, I've just been on the USPHL website.
Oh, yeah?
And seeing as the podcast is only an hour and 7 minutes.
Is it happening?
It's happening, man.
Are we looking at USPHL team names?
Yeah. Do you want to...
We've teased it for the weeks.
Yeah, do you want to pull it? Do you want to pull it up? Hang on, I'll send you a link. This is just on the fly. I'm not going to edit this because, frankly, I'm pissed and I don't care. If you pull this up, I don't know how we're going to do this. Maybe pick our favourite team from every division.
Pick your favourite ones.
So
basically, the reason for this little idea we had getting started was we were looking at team names, and a lot of the cool ones seem to be in the USPHL. So we were just going to go through the USPHL and pick out the cool names.
Holy cow. I'm looking at the Great Lakes division, which is where you need to pick one from now. It was a team who had a record of 7-35-2. How many goals did they allow?
Oh, yeah.
They had a goal differential of 135 in 44 games. Man, that's brutal. Anyway,
they had 16 points in the league, and the first team in their division had 73. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, team names.
So what's your favourite?
You know, I'm torn between two. I like Lake Erie Bighorns just because I think that just like the it sounds a bit weird to me, and I love that. I also like Pittsburgh Vengeance just because it doesn't go at all with like an actual team name, and I think it's hilarious.
Pittsburgh Vengeance is my choice from the Great Lakes division. So I'll choose in the Mid-Atlantic division. So there's seven teams in the Great Lakes, and
it's not that fun.
In the Mid-Atlantic, I like the New York Aviators.
Cambridge is as good. I like Rockets Hockey Club because it's just not affiliated with a place for some reason. It just sounds like some kids' hockey club, and I like that.
And Rockets Hockey Club went 38-6. 38-6-1.
They're good.
Yeah. Wait a second. How can you be 38?
One team in this division only play 14 games.
I must have gone bust.
Mm.
Anyway.
Wow. The Midwest East, which is not confusing at all.
The Midwest East.
Midwest East division. Yeah,
perfectly.
Where are you? In the middle? Are you in the West? Are you in the East?
No, you're in the Midwest East. Right, there's some cracking names in this.
I mean, MJDP.
We're only allowed to pick one, Caitlin. Just pick one.
Okay. I'm going to go with Fort Wayne Spacemen.
Oh, damn you. Like, that's just like the best name ever, the Fort Wayne Spacemen.
I like Midwest Blackbeards as well. It's quite cute. That's not like a cool hockey name at all, Blackbeards.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, that would be my choice, the Midwest Blackbirds. Okay, Midwest West division.
The actual West West.
No, it's the Midwest West.
Yeah, that's true. America, sort it out.
There's some good names in here, man.
Yeah, there is.
I'm only going to choose one. The one you selected, I might select a second. My favourite... Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to go with the Rum River Mallards. Rum River Mallards. That's good. That is a great team.
I like River Mallards. That's cute. I'm going to go Minnesota Blue Ox because I don't know why they had to specify blue. Is that an actual species of ox? I don't know.
No idea. But I wouldn't even have that as my number two. My number two.
No?
No. My number two would be the Minnesota Mullets. Just because I had a mullet.
Fair, that's a good one.
Oh, I've had a haircut. I've had a haircut, people, by the way, so I'm much happier. I don't have a mullet anymore.
Well, it's not hiding behind a cap anymore.
No. I was so embarrassed the last 2 weeks. Like, literally, I had a mullet, and it was the worst thing ever. It was, yeah. But the Minnesota Mullets would be my number two.
That's good.
Dale's Ducks. Like, it sounds like...
There's so many good ones from the Midwest West.
Even the Hudson Havoc.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good as well.
Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. I mean, like, that doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Oh, dear. Okay.
New England now.
New England. So your turn to pick first.
I like New Hampshire Junior Monarchs, because Junior Monarchs just doesn't make sense in my brain. I think it's fun. How can you be a Junior Monarch? Are you a young king? What's going on?
Yeah, you're a young king.
I like it.
This is tough. Okay, I like two of these. I'm going to go with... My pick would be Twin City Thunder.
Yeah.
Which I like. What was your second favourite?
My second favourite... I was going to go Boston Bandits, just because I like some alliteration. Okay. It's not that clever, but I like the alliteration.
I would go, my second favourite would be the South Shore Kings.
Yeah. That's quite classy. That's a classy name.
Okay, Southeast Division.
Yes.
Bit boring, really. I would go for the Potomac Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, I briefly misread Hampton Roads Whalers as Hampton Road Whalers, and I was wondering what a road whaler was. So if that was briefly changed, that would be my favourite. But I might have to agree with you, Potomac Patriots, just because of the alliterations. The rest of them are pretty boring.
And I kind of like Richmond Generals.
I mean, if we go with Charlotte Rush, that kind of sounds like a name, like a person's name.
Yeah. Okay, Florida Division.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay, there's
two beauties, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, Atlanta Mad Hatters.
Is yours. I should have been picking first, shouldn't I, or not?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you were picking first. I beg your pardon. Okay. That's a solid choice, but I have to pick Florida Eels.
Florida Eels would be my second one, but Atlanta Mad Hatters is great.
But let's say you, in that division, Florida Eels, Tampa Bay Juniors, the Charleston Colonials, and the Florida Junior Blades. Oh, dear. Okay. The Northeast Division, which is primarily the reason why we've stumbled upon this, as I was looking at a player, who's going to play for the top team in the North East Division. Okay, it's me to select first. I'm going to go for the Connecticut Nighthawks.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been my second one, hands down. I like Buffalo Thunder, though.
Yeah. Sounds like Buffalo Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. it has a nice ring to it. It
but
works.
It's like Springfield Picks, P-I-C-S. What's that all about?
I have no idea. What is a pick?
Like, I know what a pick is, like playing a guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's random. But Buffalo Thunder's good.
But just what a league.
Anyway, it was the Utica Junior Comets that we were researching where I was anyway.
More teams need to be creative in their team names. We need to stop using this like Flames and the same ones over and over again.
Yeah, so that's I wonder. See why I can't like this website is messed up.
Yeah.
Is messed up. Okay, no, it's fine. I've sussed it now. Oh, that's cool. I think that's it for this week. I think we should probably wrap up, and I'm probably going to fall asleep in a heap somewhere.
Good idea.
Probably a good idea. So you have been listening to, believe it or not, Hockey from Across the Pond with Kaelin Berry and Mark Rackham. If you haven't already, we would really love it if you could give us a quick review and rating on iTunes if that is the format you're listening to today's show. Also, why not tell a friend? And don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, a huge thank you to my patrons for your continued support. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at the same time, same place next week. Until then, folks, stay safe, wear a mask, and be kind to one another. Goodbye.